When I started producing for the birds in 1986, it was fun and easy to write happy stories about birds. My feeders were alive year-round with evening grosbeaks, and every winter my crabapple and mountain ash trees were visited by hordes of evening grosbeaks. The Endangered Species Act was starting to show measurable results for several species that had been in dire trouble. Bald eagles, osprey, whooping cranes, trumpeter swans, black-capped vireos, and Kirtland's warblers. The Clean Air Act and Clean Water Act had made a huge difference already. Snow wasn't crusted black within hours of falling from lead and other dirty chemicals in gasoline. The Cuyahoga River wasn't catching fire anymore. News on the environmental front was much more good than bad. Even then, of course, there were intimations that industry was working hard to eviscerate important environmental legislation, and now we're reaping the fruits of their labor. Even as a handful of species have become more abundant than ever, more and more are in dire trouble. The overpopulation of Canada geese and American crows in many places has become as much a problem as the overpopulation of white-tailed deer. Geese are subsidized by excessive areas grown as lawn turf. Crows are subsidized by all our garbage and by our reduced commitment to cleaning up roadkill quickly and efficiently. Deer are subsidized by fragmenting our forests and managing more and more forests for short rotation aspen rather than longer rotation hardwoods. And as these species thrive, we're losing woodcock, grouse, grassland species such as bobolinks, meadowlarks, prairie chickens, and sharp-tailed grouse, forest species such as evening grosbeaks and some warblers, and a lot of ocean species. This week there was a news story about thousands of dead emaciated razorbills, puffins, and other northern oceanic birds washing ashore around the coasts of Denmark, southern Norway, and Sweden this fall. The birds were adults and had starved, indicating that there were essentially no young produced this year either. Meanwhile, a report released by the Worldwide Fund for Nature is warning that more than half of the Amazon rainforest could be gone by 2030 as a result of increased logging and decreased rainfall. That in turn would release some 90 billion tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, accelerating global warming and affecting rainfall over the world's major agricultural areas. Environmental problems are growing so monumental that it calls to mind Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat, facing a mess that is so big and so deep and so tall that there's no way to fix it. No way at all, except that we have no choice. Our children and their children depend on it. We're not all of us rocket scientists, but we're all human beings, needing clean air and water and food to survive, and all bearing brains that are reported by some to operate with higher intelligence than the brains of the other species with which we share this planet. We're supposed to be the animals that can solve problems and predict what will happen if we take or don't take certain actions. I say if we're really smarter than chickadees, then we better do more than chickadees to ensure our children's successful futures. During this lovely yet somehow ominous holiday season, I plan to focus on chickadees and cardinals and other beautiful and happy members of our natural community. But thinking about the best that nature has to offer should also make us mindful of our obligations to ensure that this best is with us for many, many generations to come. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.